This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakraborty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. With the primary behind us, the race for governor of Massachusetts is now set, and the final sprint in November is on. As expected, the Democrat, Attorney General Martha Coakley, prevailed last night, although the race was closer than expected. She finished just 6 points ahead of State Treasurer Steve Grossman.
At a Democratic Unity breakfast today in Boston, Coakley accepted the support of her vanquished opponents and took aim at her Republican opponent, Charlie Baker.
And I could not be more excited about our ability now to move forward and turn this economy around for everybody. That is the vision we have that Republican Charlie Baker does not. We are going to speak for people that he maybe doesn't even know are here in Massachusetts.
Well, for his part, Charlie Baker campaigned in Boston today after trouncing his challenger, businessman and Tea Party advocate Mark Fisher, by nearly 50 points last night.
The voters are going to have a clear choice this November. A choice between charting a new direction or more of the same.
Baker and Coakley will be joined by three independents on the November ballot. Also today, voters in the 6th Congressional District are preparing to elect a new congressman after last night's shocker, the defeat of incumbent John Tierney by his fellow Democrat Seth Moulton. Moulton will take on former Republican State Senator Richard Tesei in November.
Well, joining us for some analysis on what happens now that we're in the first day of the general election sprint is Susan Tracy, Democratic analyst and president of the Strategy Group. Great to see you again, Susan.
Thanks, Meghna. Great to be here.
Also with us is Rob Gray, Republican analyst and consultant and president of Gray Media. Rob, great to see you again as well.
Good to be here. Thank you.
So first of all, let's start off with the gubernatorial race. Charlie Baker defeated Mark Fisher. But let's focus on Martha Coakley first, because she defeated her closest rival, as Anthony was saying earlier, Steve Grossman, by just about 6 points last night to become the Democratic nominee. Here she was last night at her victory rally.
It's no secret that I was not the choice of insiders and special interests. And it's no secret that I won't be in the general election either. But I'm okay with that. Like I said before, I'm not in this race for the insiders. I'm in it for you.
So, Susan, let's start off with the first question that a lot of people have been asking today, and that is Martha Coakley had been supposedly polling at double digits, up even to 20 points over Steve Grossman, and that is not the victory margin that she came out with last night. Should she take that as an indication of concern now that she's facing Charlie Baker?
Poor Martha Coakley. Even when she wins, she loses with people's perceptions. Look, polls are polls. Who knows what's right and what's wrong? Races always tighten up at the end. She had two strong opponents. They both put resources into the race. She was the target of their fire in the race. She was the target of Republican independent ad fire. She came out really strong, and it's going to be a great unified race. She won.
Well, but Rob, I mean, if you're Charlie Baker right now, are you saying yes, she might have won, but again, by not as much, and it could be a sign of weakness in her?
Sure. Charlie Baker smelling opportunity. I mean, 58% of voters, even in a Democratic primary, the most active Democrats, did not pull the lever for Martha Coakley. So that is an opportunity for Charlie Baker to come in and get them, some of them. Republican gubernatorial candidates in the state have a history of being able to get upwards of 25% of the Democratic vote. You have to get over 20% at least to have a chance to win. And Baker's certainly going to do that. I think the other thing Baker's looking at is the low number of voters in the primary. 537,000 voters versus 911,000 when Deval Patrick ran in 2006. There's an enthusiasm gap there, I think, for Martha Coakley and for the other candidates in the race who didn't make it, that I think bodes well for Charlie Baker.
Susan, let me ask you, jumping off Rob's point, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that it doesn't seem to me that the 20% of Democratic voters who voted for Don Berwick are going to become Baker voters necessarily. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's sort of the progressive wing of the Democratic Party. But what about all those voters who went with Steve Grossman? Are those ones that maybe Martha Coakley has to work pretty hard or harder than she'd like to have to retain?
Look, I got to believe that most of the Grossman voters are going to vote for Martha Coakley. They're good Democrats. Steve's a good Democrat. I'll pick up on something Rob said about the enthusiasm factor. I think the thing that I found really interesting coming out of last night is who the Democratic primary voters selected. They selected women. They selected new. They selected young. They selected outsiders. The Democratic Party is going to have a ticket with four women, two men up in the 6th Congressional District with Seth Moulton, a young, vibrant 35-year-old Iraq War veteran. That is going to be a ticket and a party that gets people excited and mobilized. I think the enthusiasm is going to be strong coming into this thing.
Okay, well, let's talk for a moment about Charlie Baker and what he has to do now that we're in the first day of the general. Here he is on WBUR's Morning Edition today. He was speaking with our very own Bob Oakes, and Charlie Baker explained his vision for bipartisan leadership on Beacon Hill.
I want to have an opportunity to go up on Beacon Hill as governor and work collaboratively with the legislature where there are opportunities to collaborate. But at the same time, I also want to be able to serve as the balance that's currently missing up there on taxes and on spending and on what I would describe as a sort of accountability and transparency issues.
So, Rob, take us into what you think Charlie Baker's strategy is now. I mean, we heard quite a bit of it in that tape, but where should he focus?
Well, he's leading with the balance argument because there's a history over 25 years of Democratic voters and voters in general in this Democratic state being open to or really welcoming a Republican governor who checks a legislature and saves them from their worst instincts. Bill Weld, Paul Cellucci, Jane Swift, Mitt Romney. Before Deval Patrick, there was a history of that, and Charlie is looking for people to go back to that and embrace it. The advantage of that for him also is that he's trying to get away from being a Republican, and we heard Martha Coakley in her clip from this morning's event refer to him as Republican Charlie Baker. We're going to hear that a lot. Charlie, I think, is trying to be bipartisan, but also be somebody who's willing to say no.
Mm. Well, on the other hand, Susan, this morning at the Unity Breakfast, at the Democratic Unity Breakfast this morning, we heard not only from Martha Coakley, but we also heard from Don Berwick, and Governor Deval Patrick was there, and it seemed as if the resounding theme was that Democrats can coalesce around the record that they've had in leadership in Massachusetts, whereas they don't think that, I guess one takeaway for me was that Republicans have a record to run from in the mm-hmm. eyes of Democrats, but Democrats have a record to run on. That seems to be one of their themes now.
Yeah, I think Martha Coakley is going to be able to run on universal child care, pre-K. She's going to be able to run on, health providing time off for sick leave for workers. I think she's going to have a strong economic record that's focused on the working people. So I do think you're going to see differences. But I think what you're going to really see more of is a Democratic Party that's going to be really energized around the caliber of candidates that we're putting forward. We have, as I said, it's women, it's outsiders, it's young, it's new, from Mara Healey to Seth Moulton to Martha Coakley, who really is an outsider in many ways. She is not a party of the inside of Democratic politics. And I think voters are going to find that appealing.
Okay, well, let's move on to one of the races that might personify what you just said, Susan, and that is the 6th Congressional District. On the Democratic side, political newcomer Seth Moulton defeated incumbent Congressman John Tierney. It's the first time that's happened in 22 years in Massachusetts. Here he was. This is Moulton speaking last night to supporters at the Veterans of Foreign Wars post in Salem.
Everyone in Washington should be judged by the voters on their ability to do the people's business. Today, the voters, you, have spoken loud and clear.
So Seth Moulton is now going to face Republican Richard Tesei. Rob, if you're Richard Tesei, don't you kind of wish Tierney had been the winner last night?
Definitely. As good a night as it was for Seth Moulton and as bad a night as it was for John Tierney, it was equally as bad a night for Richard Tesei, because you want to go up against the scandal-tarred incumbent. We saw that happen in 1992 here in Massachusetts, where you had Chet Atkins caught up in the House bank scandal. Paul Cronin, the Republican, was seen as walking into that seat after redistricting, believe it or not. And Marty Meehan comes out of nowhere, the new Democrat, kind of like Moulton, knocks off Chet Atkins, and Paul Cronin was done mm-hmm. in that race. And Richard Tesei is going to have to prove himself, I think, in the early polls over the next 2 weeks to be competitive in that district for all the national money that helped him last time and kept it close for him last time to stay in this race. They've made buys. Will they keep those buys, or will they turn them to New Hampshire if Richard Tessay is 8 to 10 points behind Seth Moulton.
Yeah. Your take on that, Susan?
Yeah, absolutely. Tessay becomes the insider in the race. Moulton becomes the outsider. And I think if you're the Republican National Committee or the Republican Congressional Committee and you're just trying to decide where to put resources, I do think you probably look elsewhere for a victory.
Right.
What Tessay does have going for him, I will say, is that this is a gubernatorial election year.
Not a presidential
election year. He came a whisker away from winning in a presidential election year, which is much, much worse for Republican candidates in terms of turnout. So he does have an argument that he can beat Moulton, but he definitely wanted Tierney to win that primary.
And that was against Tierney in that race, and it was not against, an Iraq war vet who's got, just an incredible story.
Well, for just one second, I'm going to lean on both of your expertise here, because I was looking at the voting record of voters in the 6th, and yes, while Tessay was just beaten by a hair in 2012 by Tierney, I believe in that same year, even though Elizabeth Warren won statewide in the Senate race, that actually in the 6th, Scott Brown took most of the votes in the 6th, although he, of course, lost the Senate seat overall. So there's quite a diversity of voters and opinions in the 6th. Could Richard Tessay look to those voters to help him this time around, Rob?
Sure, and in addition to Scott Brown, the 6th is a pretty good Republican district, as good as they get in Massachusetts, which is never great, but okay. And Gabriel Gomez in the special election against Ed Markey also won the 6th district. So, what electorate shows up does impact the race, and Tessay is much better off running there than a lot of other parts of the state.
And Susan, last quick thought goes to you. Are you more excited now than you were in the primaries?
Yeah, I just feel like this field of candidates, and let's face it, Seth Moulton is, he's a veteran. He's a young, talented guy, Harvard grad, Harvard Business School. He's really got a great resume, and I'm really excited, yeah.
Well, Susan Tracy.
We got a great field.
Susan Tracy is our Democratic analyst and president of the Strategy Group and former state representative. Always great to have you, Susan. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Magna.
And Rob Gray, Republican analyst and consultant and founder. I'm sorry, analyst and consultant and founder and president. I got to get my Oxford commas in the right place of Gray Media. Thanks so much, Rob.
Thanks, Magna.
And stay with us. Following his victory last night, we're joined by the Republican candidate for governor, Charlie Baker. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.